I first of all want to refer you back to the scripture that Andrew brought to us last week, Matthew chapter 6. The title of this morning's service is How to Invest Beyond the Grave. How to Invest Beyond the Grave. Matthew chapter 6, and we're just reading this as way of introduction, Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm going to put Ben and Ema on the spot. Can you just briefly tell us what that's all about? Thanks.
Suppose that it means don't live for the things of this earth, because when God comes back, that won't mean anything. Your turn.
I guess like you shouldn't be like worried, like be using like material sort of stuff and like concentrate your life on it, but like concentrate on stuff that's more important than just like material things.
Thank you. One more, Ben.
I'm not sure.
What is treasure?
Treasure is true treasure. My treasure. God.
God.
Oh, the clothes Mr. Adley bought me.
Eternal things.
Yeah.
Thank you. They did well. Put them on the spot. Okay. Thank you, Eva. Thank you, Ben. I'm first of all going to read out a prophetic word. Now, there's been several going around, but this one I'm just bringing to you, and I'm just asking you, church, to test it. Was given by someone who is respected. He says, I believe the Lord would say, there is a breakdown within the nations at this time. A breakdown financially, but breakdown as well within the world food markets. There is coming a famine like never been seen before, where people have relied on foods being upon the shelves, where people have just walked in and picked up their bread, where people have just walked into supermarkets and filled their baskets full. Yet I, the Lord, am bringing that famine worldwide on the world grain markets. For this is the time, says the Lord, where I am shaking the nations. I am shaking my people. Did I not say I would shake the world systems and banking systems? Did I not let you see that those vaults would be empty? For I, the Lord, I keep my promise. But I want you to know that, says the Lord, there is a famine also for the word of God. And as the word of God goes out, but it will produce fruit and it will produce life. It will bring life to those who are perishing. It will feed the hungry. It will feed those souls spiritually. For the Lord is with you. The Lord is your strength. The Lord is your strong tower. And he's a mighty tower in the midst of trouble. The people have served other gods. The people have fallen prostrate before other gods. The people have built those towers like Babel. They've made their own images. They've made their own little banks. But I, the Lord, I'm coming with power, and you will see a tumbling down of these towers. Already across the nations you have seen them, but this is the year. This is the year when you'll start to see those grain mountings just dissipate and none to fill them and put them back in place. For I, the Lord, would say, there's my people, stay close together, I will feed them. And I will feed them supernaturally, because you have a supernatural God. I will draw people to me, says the Lord, and they will cling to me. This is also the time of God's favor. This is the time when you'll see those breakdown of communications and the systems of this world falling apart. Because I am coming, says the Lord, and the hour and the time is at hand. For this is the last hour. This is the last hour where I am speaking to my church. I am speaking to my people that they might surrender. Surrender over to the living God, who can give life, who can give that spiritual food, where they will not thirst, where they will not go hungry, says the Lord. Bring that word for you to test it. How to invest beyond the grave. Turn with me now, if you will, to the book of James. James in the New Testament. Two short passages. The first one is in chapter 1 and is page 1072 in the Church Bible. James chapter 1. Verse 9. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun arisen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. His flowers falls, and his beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Now chapter 4 verse 13 of James. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back for fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the just. He does not resist you. It is the word of the Lord, how to invest beyond the grave. Now Jesus, James, who has written this, this is the half-brother of Jesus. And he's addressing the Jewish believers who have been dispersed. These people he's writing to are no longer in Israel. They have been dispersed, many of them around the Mediterranean. Indeed, at this time there would be up to 10,000 of these Jews living in Rome alone. Now, what has been the great danger is, you see, the Jews that had stayed behind, they were getting into legalism. They were going back to the old ways of just doing religion. No life, just form. Man-made traditions. But these Jews who have left Israel, they are now in another danger. They are absorbing the customs all around them. They are compromising their faith for the world. Just like they did in the olden days, they've fallen for the way of the world, after other idols, other gods. And now they are in trouble. Many of them have left Israel because they wanted to make money. They wanted to make money. They took their businesses to other parts of the world. The problem is, because now they're forsaking the Lord, they've been corrupted. They become greedy. They have left Israel to make money. And James is coming back again to the subject of wealth and pride. Now, from the verses that we have read at the end of chapter 4, we might get the impression that James is opposed to all planning, to all preparation. We might get that impression. But I don't think that James is saying that all planning, all dreaming is bad. I don't think he's saying that. I don't think he's saying that. Rather, what James, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, is saying, don't count on your plans coming to pass. Don't count on them coming to pass. Probably they will, but maybe they won't. Maybe they won't. As we see in so many places, only if it is God's will should it come to pass. And that's what our prayer should be. Lord, I'm committing this to you. If it's your will, I'm going to be happy. But if it's not your will, whatever you're going to take me in, I'm going to still be blessed, even though I might have to go through trials. What do the scriptures say? Young people, trust in the Lord and do good. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring it to pass. Proverbs says, don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what that's going to bring. Jesus tells us an incredible story. It's a story we should take to heart. It's in the Gospels. He talks about a very rich man. This man, he sowed the seed. The land became really productive. He found that the small sheds he had wasn't going to be big enough to put all the grain, to put all the food. Ah, he says, I'm so successful. I've really made it. I'm going to knock down these tiddly barns. I'm going to build much bigger ones. I'm going to fill those. And then I'm just going to sit back and take it easy. Ah, how good it is. And the Lord says to him, you fool. You absolute fool. What about tonight? If you pop your clogs, you're going to leave it all behind. You're a fool. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Don't make plans without reference to God. Don't make plans without reference to God. God knows where He wants you. God knows where He wants you. So please don't be afraid if your plans don't quite work out. Now here we have in verse 13, it says, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Is God against making a profit? No, not necessarily. But God is saying, don't boast. Don't take credit if your plans work out. Don't boast in them. I read of a man. He'd come out of college. He was a graduate. And his family had helped him a lot, so he'd got quite a big back pocket. And so he decides he's going to rent an office overlooking the Thames, Canary Wharf. And so he rents this office. He's going to set up business. And he's got this office. There's not much on the office. On the table, there's a telephone, lots of scraps of paper, but nothing productive yet because he hasn't really got going. But he's full of ambition. Not wrong with that, as long as your ambition is centered in Jesus. He's got big plans, and he's dreaming of all the bucks he's going to make. And then he observes this man coming through the outer door. He thought, I'm going to impress him. So he starts and gets all his empty bits of paper together, picks up the phone, doesn't dial anything, and speaks to the phone. And he's boasting about all the millions he's made and he's going to make. The orders are on his desk. He said, I've got so many orders on my desk. And what do you want? Oh, I can deliver that in 3 months' time, he says. Yes, yes, yes. No, that's just a small contract. I know that's £3 million, but you want to see the other business I've got here? Yeah, no problem. He said, talk about a downturn. I'm on an upturn here, he says. Then he puts the phone down and he turns around to the man who's now standing behind him. He says, can I help you? He says, yes, I've come to install your telephone. What is the message to the businessman here? Saying, look, verse 17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. If you're a believer, you've committed your way to the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit, the Lord is living in you. Do what you should do. Follow the Holy Spirit. Don't follow man. You see, the businessman had become corrupted. What was happening? The same as is happening today. They're exploiting their employees. They're holding back wages to help the cash flow of their own businesses. They're indulging themselves. The Bible says, let each of you look out for the, not for his own interest, but for the interest of others. In other words, Christian, give up center stage. Give up center. I'm just giving you a word now, and I feel it was very much quickened to me Friday evening. As I was thinking about what is happening in society, and that we are in the last days, and I've been thinking about the absolute awful corruption that has been going on in the banks, in big business. There have been prophecies about riots which will be taking place in our cities and towns. There will be riots in our prisons. There is going to be riots in our prisons, absolute turmoil. There are men, women in these prisons, maybe rightly so, who have been caught thieving, mugging, taking what isn't theirs. But there's great unrest coming because they are seeing how the big people are getting away with murder. There's going to be unrest, mark my words. And God is speaking against the oppression of the poor. Remember what Andrew said last week? And when I said when I preached in October how to survive the economic meltdown, I says, we've got to look after those who are weak, the poor, the vulnerable. Now, what God may be saying to you as an individual, you may be wanting to put something by to help those who are going to be falling on really tough times. As a church, we may need to be listening to the Lord as to what He would have us do. Many people are being exploited. But the rich, those who are persecuting, those who are oppressing, the word of God saying, your day is coming. Your comeuppance is coming. Throughout the word we have warnings about making our own plans and then trying to store up worldly wealth. And of course we observe that with wealth also comes a great deal of snobbery, doesn't it? And it gives sort of power, prestige. It goes right against the kingdom of heaven mechanics. It really does. Not mechanics, dynamics. I've got the annex muddled up. The dynamics, okay? Now, friends, we are living in challenging times. Of course we are. You and I, we are, our friends are, our neighbours are, our families are. These are challenging times. Things are crumbling. The towers are coming down. Do we worry about money? I do from time to time. I guess some of you do as well. We do. Let's just remind ourselves what Jesus says in his word. Back to the chapter that Andrew read last week, Matthew chapter 6. Remember that prophecy which I read out at the beginning? It says, if you're really putting me first, the Lord is saying, if you're really putting me first, if you've committed to me your way, if you are investing in eternal things, heavenly things, if you're not putting your treasure, you know, in the things which are perishing, the things which are vaporing away, I will supernaturally provide for you. Let's just read this scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about his own things. Sufficient for the day is his own trouble. This is the word of the Lord, and the prophecy talks about supernatural. I do believe that as we're coming into, we're all trying times, we are friends, when there's going to be so much more governmental control over what we're doing and where we're going and what we're buying and where, who we're with and so on, Big Brother and all of that, as the Antichrist spirit becomes more and more evident within the church, and eventually Big Brother will tell you that unless you've got this certain mark, you won't be able to buy, eat. You won't be able to go to the supermarket unless you've taken on the mark to worship him who is from the pit. The Lord will step in. Do you know, I've said this to you before. The things which happen to the Israelites are there to warn us as well as to encourage us. When those in the wilderness, what happened? The Lord wonderfully rained down manna, didn't he? They had shoes, didn't wear out. He provided for them supernaturally. That had to be God. That was his kind, compassionate generosity, unbounding love, amazing grace. And I believe for those who are going to be living in challenging times in the days ahead, God's going to supernaturally work for his people. It's amazing. Let's give him the opportunity even now. He is our Jehovah Jireh. The word is, don't worry. If your plans are put into the lap of the Lord, don't worry. And we need to look out for one and another. You see, it is blessed to give, isn't it? The teaching, as we've explained before, about, well, I'll give you £10 because I know I'm going to get £100 back, is totally false. The teaching is wrong. Let Acts chapter 2 be yours and my model. They gave, they shared. They gave, they shared. Not expecting anything back. They gave, they shared. They gave, they shared. That's true family. And that's what we should be doing amongst the people of God and also those who will be in real needs elsewhere. So, let's, in conclusion, there's much I want to say, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will use these few words, especially his precious word, to really convict us in our time of worship this morning. We are still before the Lord. So anything we need to give back, anything we need to surrender, any dark places, because God wants us all. He's, you know, not apart. If I'm holding back, if you're holding back, if there's things going on in your life, if there is worry. Remember what I preached about a few months back? One of the greatest sins is worry, because it's unbelief. You know, if we're totally worrying, we're not pleasing God. Without faith, you can't. With faith, you please God. He can work with you. Faith can move the mountains, providing there's love in it as well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We believe in a great, omnipotent God. King David says in Psalm 37 or whatever, he says, I've not yet seen the righteous forsaken. They haven't been begging for bread yet. Hallelujah! This is the all-sufficient one. My God will supply your needs in Christ Jesus. Let us be letters. Christ's letters to this world. Living letters, full of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus was so against the Pharisees. They laughed at Jesus when he talked some of these things. They laughed at his face. They mocked him. Because they thought they were both religious and rich. But Jesus says you may be rich and you're certainly religious, but you don't know me. You don't have a relationship with me. Oh, God help us. So we're not to worry about things. They are perishing. They are perishing. God will take care of you, because all of your worries will not add a single moment to your life. They won't. Philippians chapter 4 verse 12 says this. The Apostle Paul says, I have learnt the secret of being content. I've learned to be content. I've learned the secret of being content. Let me give you three things. Learn to be happy with less. Learn to be happy with less. Happiness isn't about getting what you want, but about enjoying what God has given you. Happiness, being blessed, is not about getting what you want, but about enjoying what God has given you. Secondly, remind yourself things could be worse. Third, this world isn't your home. Money itself is neutral. It can do a lot of good. But Paul says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Just in James chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor, is even smoke, is even mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." And of course, James is thinking of what is written in Hosea chapter 13, verse 3. He's referring to Hosea, because the prophet is there speaking of people who disobey the Lord. They're worshipping idols. And Hosea says they will disappear like the morning mist, like the early dew that vanishes. So what is the sin that these business people are practicing in James chapter 4? They are worshipping their own plans. They have become an idol. It's all about me. Ego, ego, ego. And they are disobeying the first and greatest commandment, which is, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And then, love your neighbour as yourself. So may the Lord help us in these days, that we will truly be investing in the things which matter, in eternity, beyond the grave. And then one day, by His grace, we will receive our reward. And our life here, whether we're 5 years old, 50 years old, or 100 years of old, will have counted, because we have been living as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let any wealth corrupt you, my dear friends. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says that in the last days, many will depart from the faith. In these days, many who were walking with God are going to apostate. They're going to leave. He says that in these difficult times, in these last days, there will be many who will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, without control. We see that today, don't we? Religious. Let us be those who are full of the Holy Spirit, not having a religion devoid of God, devoid of power, but living for Jesus. What is the Lord's message to the 21st century Christians? Exactly the same as it was to the first century. Don't let the love of money, don't let the love of material things become your idols. In the end, you will be judged by God. And your wealth won't matter a mite. But how you've used it will. As a believer, where is our treasure? None of us can plead ignorance, can we? If we pursue one at the expense, it will be at the expense of the other. Let us pursue the Lord. Let us seek first His kingdom. Let's stay loyal to God, friends. Let's be focused on eternity. Full of the Holy Spirit. Lewis Hamilton, but Button won the Grand Prix last night, this morning. Now, firstly, he needed fuel in his tank. He wouldn't have got far without fuel in his tank, would he? But then he had to stay focused. He had to concentrate because round each lap there were dangers. He had to stay focused. He would have never won. We as believers need to have the fuel, God, the Holy Spirit, daily. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. But we need to stay focused, looking unto Jesus, committing our way to the Lord. And he will help us. We will then be able to see the dangers and resist them. We won't have to be intimidated by them. We will overcome. Hallelujah. Because God is for us. We will be able to withstand any attack. How can we live today? Well, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you are a letter from Christ, written not with ink, no, but with the Spirit of the living God. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. In these troubled days, nothing is more needed than a living portrait of Jesus Christ. Nothing is more needed than a living portrait of Jesus Christ. Let's deliver our love letter, friends, to anyone and whoever crosses our path, to anyone in need, to anyone who's lost, to anyone who's in sin, to anyone whose business has come crumbling around them, to the fearful. Let us be that love letter. Let us invest beyond the grave, because we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Amen.